Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with Bill the Producer. Now well into our 16th year on the road, or on the end of the road, on the air, everywhere. We are there, we are doing our thing, and we have crossed over that threshold where we're legally allowed to drive in like most of the states. I guess all the states. I don't know. So we are going to hit the road. Starting next week, we hit the road for, 2 weeks at least. And we're going to be doing some recording from various locations. So you're going to want to stick around for that. But this week, we got a lot of stuff to cover. A lot of stuff in the news. And we're just going to kind of, just dive right into and find out how this is going to affect us as scuba divers. You know, a perspective maybe from the dive industry, manufacturers, destinations where you can go dive, that kind of thing. Just a little bit of everything today. Feel free to chime in, 888-88-SCUBA, and give us your 2 cents, or dive in. You could do that, and join in the party, and that's what we'll do. So first of all, the big news was, or one of the stories that hit the wire this week. You probably heard that Pixar and Disney have finally announced a sequel to Finding Nemo called Finding Dory. So, they finally cut a deal with Ellen DeGeneres and got her to come back and reprise her role as Dory, the doofy damselfish, I guess. Actually, that wasn't the reason it's been delayed so long. Do you know the backstory to this thing?
I do not know why it was delayed so long.
Back in the day,
I assume politics involved.
You know,
curse you, Obama!
It wasn't Obama. It was Steve Jobs, believe it or not.
Thing we killed him off. Too soon?
Yeah, maybe. No, Steve Jobs evidently, back in the day when he was running Pixar, when they came out with Finding Dory, or Finding Nemo, I should say, didn't believe in doing sequels. And he had a big stink with Michael Eisner from Disney. And they were fighting about this for some time, like, we will not do a sequel. And what they did, what Michael Eisner did at Disney back in the day, what's kind of cool is that we're from Orlando, and I kind of know some of these people. I met Michael Eisner. I got to talk to him. And so
did he seem like he was kind of a jerk?
He totally blew me off. But
he's no Larry Ellison, but he's a jerk.
Well, maybe. No, he's a nice enough guy. But he basically, what he did behind Steve Jobs' back was create a separate company that would allow Disney to do sequels, which explains why Toy Story 2 and 3 came out. They created a separate company outside of the agreement that Pixar and Disney had that kept them from doing sequels, and so he found a way around it by creating a separate company. And, of course, that pissed off Steve Jobs even more. There was fights, and finally they ended up buying Pixar, and slowly but surely they kind of got over this stuff, but there was still this issue, I guess, of doing sequels. And, of course, Steve Jobs passed away last year, and now they've kind of brought the family back together a little bit.
Okay, but I'm still not buying any of this, and let me tell you why. Because they did do Toy Story 2 and Toy Story 3.
Under a separate company.
Okay.
So,
and while that's all well and good, what could possibly have kept them from doing the same thing with
with Finding Nemo.
With Finding Nemo. And I know that they're doing a couple of different projects with the Monsters, Inc. people.
Yeah. Well,
they're
those
doing Monsters University.
It came after Finding Nemo, I believe. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, that's what I read.
Okay.
And I saw a story on this that kind of painted that picture, and it made sense. Like, okay.
But I do kind of agree with Steve Jobs on the fact that there aren't a lot of movies where the sequels measure up in any way to the originals. I would say that I think Toy Story movies do. I think both the Toy Story sequels were good jobs.
Right.
Because they were great people. But
yeah.
Here's something that I think is really true about sequels and includes Toy Story. It almost doesn't matter how good that sequel is. There's no way it can be as groundbreaking as the original.
Right.
It cannot. And with Pixar, you're dealing with so many things which are just fabulously good. And they're expanding the technology of using the digital medium so quickly that it's hard to imagine going backwards to try and make your sequel look anything like the original.
True. True.
I thought the underwater scenes were really good.
Yeah.
Except for they had a real thing about adding in bubbles. They do the same thing. Well, in underwater animation.
Right.
And they do the same thing with The Little Mermaid. They have a thing where there wouldn't necessarily be bubbles in the underwater environment.
Yeah.
They add bubbles in to make it, to remind you you're underwater. So they add bubbles in behind fish, which wouldn't normally have bubbles behind them.
All right. Well, Bill's a critic.
I know. I'm just saying it's something that they do to remind you that you're underwater.
Okay. Well, you know, that's all fine. I understand what you're saying. I think it's been a long time coming. And any good publicity for a film that is going to focus on the underwater environment, whether it's Finding Nemo, The Little Mermaid, whatever, it's good. It's a good thing. I mean, I remember Jean-Michel Cousteau, he was the first person to ever mention this movie, Finding Nemo, to me. And he had, because he was consulted by Disney.
And he's involved in the DVD of it.
Yeah, exactly. And he goes, Greg, you got to check this, you got to see this movie.
Greg,
I am so excited.
You must check this out.
You must see this movie.
It is the greatest
movie ever.
The underwater world.
It will have a big effect on the diving community and our focus on the underwater world.
You must look at this. Then you must fire the producer.
Yeah, exactly. He made another comment how he didn't like Bill. Anyway, he told me about this film, and you know, he was just gushing. He couldn't believe it. He's like, finally Hollywood had stepped up to the plate. It had a positive message that was going to be shared with children around the world.
On
the underwater world.
There's a lot of protests about the Finding Nemo movie because apparently there's a group of dentists in Australia who think that they were poorly portrayed.
Well, it's Australia. I mean, if it was like the dentists of, you know, England, I mean, you might have a case. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen their work? It's not pretty.
I understand.
Anyway.
No, the dentist of England. There's just the one.
It was easy to organize them.
It's Willy Wonka's dad.
Yeah. So he told me about this film. He was so excited. It came out. I think it was good. It was a great message. And Little Mermaid had a little bit of that as well. I think that there's a generation of folks, kids that came out of that might have, you know, been exposed to that I think might encourage them to want to explore the underwater world, which is good as divers. You want to plant that seed as early as possible. So anything like that is a positive thing, I think, for the dive industry. So it's good that they're doing a film. I mean, I would imagine they're going to try to at least replicate some of those environmental messages that they had in Finding Nemo, which I think still stands up to this day. I think it's a great message for kids, great message for adults, for that matter. Come on. That's a good film. Have you watched that lately, Bill? Even it stands
up. Which one? Finding Nemo?
Yeah.
Finding Nemo is a good movie. The environmental messages are almost all add-ons in the DVD. I don't think there's an environmental message in the movie. Except for if you're in a submarine surrounded by, for whatever reason, thousands of landmines, you should probably not have a shark party.
Well, maybe. Yeah, but you know,
you don't want those balloons to pop, mate. That was okay. Horrible.
Yeah. Mine.
Anyway. Mine.
That was good news. And hey, here's a bonus. You know, when we started Scuba Radio, I'm guessing that was probably about
before Ellen DeGeneres was a lesbian.
Yes. It was before we knew. That's true. We went through that whole thing on this show. That's kind of funny. You know, so they're doing this sequel now. It's going to come out in 2015, they say. There's also
so now we got to hang on for two more years with this show.
Well, I'm just saying I've timed it well because I do that Just Plain Radio show now. They're doing one called Planes, which is a sequel supposedly to Cars. So we're right there, man. We're about to explode. You think? Maybe not.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive. When you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry and at an affordable price. Go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Hi, my name is Alexa from South Wales.
Well, okay.
If you like going down like me, then here's the man to see. Greg the Dive Master on Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Every time I get high, you wanna come down. Every time I wanna get down, get down, get down.
Yes, we are getting down here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Producer here, too.
I speak whale.
Yeah. Alexa from Wales. I wonder what she's been up to these last few years. That was from my trip in Australia, and she was on the liveaboard boat.
Was she from Wales or from New South Wales?
She was from Wales.
Okay.
She was from North or South, I guess. That's all I remember. Yeah, we were drinking Bundaberg rum at the evening.
Wales is in England.
Yeah.
But actually, it's not in England. It's in Great Britain.
Yeah.
And it's southwestern
right.
England.
Yeah.
And New South Wales is the area around Sydney, where most of the people in Australia live. It's the most populated state in Australia.
Yeah. Well,
New South Wales.
Okay. She was from one of those. And anyway, but great
nice
gal,
work.
From what I remember, vaguely.
But horribly unattractive, I'm guessing.
No.
No?
I don't remember that being the case.
Interesting.
Yeah. Actually, we may have to do a little interview this afternoon, Bill.
Oh?
We have some new mermaid prospects, Scuba Radio mermaid prospects that would like to join the pod.
Excellent.
And actually, they have been training under the tutelage of Mermaid Lizzie.
Aha!
And so she is...
She'll learn them up good.
I think. So we may talk to one of those later on and give them their official on-air hazing. If we can get them on the phone today, we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, a couple little things. You know, we got this diving issues or things that popped up in the news this week. You got this Finding Dory movie, which is great. And like I said, they're actually doing a sequel to Cars as well.
Planes.
Yeah, and we have Just Plane Radio. By the way, we got a new website. You want to get a free Discover flight, go to justplaneradio.com, check it out, fill it out, and you can win. And that doesn't include me as your pilot, just so you know. Don't want to scare anybody. Anyway, so that's kind of cool. The other thing, I'm watching TV this week, and I'm watching that show Shark Week, or Shark Tank. And they actually had a couple guys come in and pitch the Shark Tank. This is a show where they have like five millionaires come in. And who's the guy from the Dallas Mavericks?
Mark Cuban.
Yeah, Mark Cuban's one of them.
I was going to ask if Mark Cuban was still involved in that.
Yeah, yeah. And you come in and you pitch your invention, your idea to these millionaires, billionaires, and say, hey, give me some money. I'll give you a percentage of the business, blah, blah, blah.
In case you're not familiar with Mark Cuban, Mark Cuban made $1 billion selling Broadcast.com. $1 billion selling Broadcast.com at the absolute best time ever. And unlike every other person in business ever, he decided he would not just start another company immediately with that money.
Yeah.
And that may make him the smartest man ever.
Maybe. I don't know. The Shark Tank didn't seem that smart to me on this particular round. These two guys came in and they pitched the idea of lionfish as a marketable, mass-produced fish or specialty fish to be served up in restaurants across the country. And, you know, as scuba divers, as listeners of Scuba Radio, you've heard us talking about this last year or two, at least, where this has been a big issue. I've had lionfish. Divers are spearing lionfish to try to get them out of the environment because they've invaded Atlantic waters especially and are creating havoc throughout the Caribbean. And they're trying to encourage everybody to go out there, spear them, and take, you know, put a little dent in these fish so they don't ruin the population of other critters under the sea. You know, it's you know, you're never going to get them out of there at this point. However, you know, making them a marketable fish that they'd serve up at restaurants across the country and in Caribbean might have a positive impact in that regard. You know, put a price tag on them.
I actually think I have a better plan. And this is probably what the Shark Tank was thinking that they'd come up with when they mentioned lionfish.
What's that?
And you have a problem with lionfish, you want to get them out of the environment?
Yeah.
We're going to start a rumor right here, and I would like everyone listening to the show to start spreading this rumor right now.
Okay.
Did you know that eating lionfish will make Asian men's penises larger?
Ooh.
They've pretty much wiped out every animal where that rumor's been started.
True. Maybe that's where the guy went wrong in his pitch.
Yeah, I think that's it. So if you can convince Asian men that eating lionfish will increase the size of their penis, they will wipe that species off the face of the earth. I'd say probably by next Tuesday.
Okay, that's a good rumor. I like it, and sounds good enough to me.
On Facebook.
That could be true. Yeah, we'll put it on Facebook for sure.
Let's do that.
But yeah, the guys came up there and they pitched this idea, and all the sharks, they didn't bite. They didn't like the idea. They said, ooh, lionfish look pretty in an aquarium. I don't know. I didn't know they were such a problem. And
this is the real problem. You know, they went to the shark tank, because I don't think sharks eat lionfish.
Well, you're right. I think
so.
You're
that
right.
Therein lies automatically there's some enmity
they
there.
Took a little misstep
towards it.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. You shouldn't have taken that No. If they had gone to the hyena pit, I think the lion connection there is something that they may have. They said, "Ew, we'll nip at their heels."
Ah, I don't think so.
No,
it's
the lionfish
I think
shark
they,
tank thing.
They need to go with the penis falling off story. That would have done
not
it.
Falling off, oh. Getting larger.
Oh, getting larger.
Don't
right,
get
right.
The rumor wrong. The folks at Snopes hate that when you get the rumor wrong. When it's almost the right rumor, but then it's the wrong rumor. The folks at Snopes have to get a whole other category opened
if
up.
If you don't eat lionfish, your penis will fall.
Thank
off.
You. It's maybe. A chain letter. One man ate a lionfish and gave it to his four best friends, and his penis grew 5 feet.
Wow.
One man did not eat the lionfish, and his penis fell off.
Yeah. And what does it do for women? Who cares?
It has their men very busy eating lionfish and not bothering them.
Like, yeah, yeah. As soon as they find out, they're like, yes, feed it to my husband now. Anyway, there you go.
I
was surprised,
women.
Though, that they didn't bite on it. Seriously, I thought. But they, you know what? The sharks, the millionaires, Mark Cuban and those guys, they were not aware of the lionfish problem at all. It is kind of a dive community issue still.
That's right. I don't think boaters are super familiar with the problem with lionfish. It is the people that are in the water seeing them there. Another question I would have is how easy it is to really duplicate that on a large scale. Because I think a lot of these ideas are not, we're going to start a restaurant kind of ideas. They're, this is something we can roll out and sell millions of. And I don't know if it's easy enough to get that lionfish into a, we're going to serve millions of this and make it an across-the-country kind of phenomenon.
Yeah, well, and as far as I know, the only way to get them still, and they brought this up, was spearing them. So you'd have to go down and get them one at a time and have them as some kind of special delicacy served up as a restaurant. They didn't see the mass, you know, market for this. So we'll see. There's an investment out there for you if you want to follow or pick up where the sharks left off. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
Dennis is dialed up 888-88-SCUBA. He is on Scuba Radio right now. Dennis, how are you? What's up?
Doing well, Greg.
I'm good.
Hey, I'm going to travel to a...
You're going to travel
I'm traveling to Kingston, Jamaica for work here in about a week and a half, and I'm trying to find a dive operator in Kingston.
In Kingston.
I'm wondering if any of the listeners. Yeah, the capital of Jamaica.
Right. Well, you know, I'm not that familiar with any specific operators in Jamaica. Single Scott, literally, that was he went diving there a little over a year ago before he had his accident, and it was one of his last dive trips he told me about, and he was pleasantly surprised with some of the diving down there. But he had just went out with one of those all-inclusive properties, like Sandals or Breezes or one of those, and was just going out with one of their dive operators. But he had said that the diving there was actually pretty good. What I would recommend as far as a dive operator, and feel free if you've been to Jamaica and you're listening in, 888-88-SCUBA, is just do a Google search and maybe look for like a petty five-star, resort place that has to have a certain amount of certifications and experience to get there.
Petty doesn't have a search for certified.
I've been looking for a couple of operators, and I haven't been able to get any of them to respond to me. And so I thought maybe if any of the listeners had any experience on the resort side, there's a lot more choices. But in Kingston, there's a lot less dive shops there. But it'd be interesting to dive that side since the historic Port Royal's there, and there's sunken ruins, and it could be some very interesting diving on that side of the island.
Yeah, well, I don't doubt that. Yeah. Well, I absolutely don't doubt that. And as far as them not getting back to you, I mean, look, they're on Island Time Mod.
They're on Yaman.
Yeah. Yes, so they're a little bit more laid back there in Jamaica, as you can relate. So, that would be a good thing if anyone's listening and they have some insight on Jamaica, feel free. But Patty, five-star instructor development centers, I know there's a couple of them at least, or I know of one of them. In Jamaica, it might be a place to go, but you can go to patty.com, find one. You can go to some of the other certification agencies and kind of go through that route and narrow it down and find some that might be a little bit more established as far as running a dive operation in that part of the world. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Radio. Scuba Radio. Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio safety tip number 13A. A certified dive master can't harness the power of the Force.
Indeed, you are powerful, as the Emperor has foreseen.
However, dive masters are allowed to replace their dive knife with a lightsaber.
I have a bad feeling about this.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the Real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio today, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. You're looking happy today, Nick.
Summer is almost here, and that always makes me happy.
Yeah? How come?
It means the start of dive season is just around the corner.
Start? You mean there's an end to dive season?
Yes, yes. There are plenty of divers who dive year-round, but for many of us, spring and summer mark the start of their diving days.
And it's getting hot out there.
Yes, it is. Dive season is close, but there's still time to get ready for it.
Got any advice on how we can do that?
Would I come here to see you without tips?
Doubtful.
Whenever the season begins, your preseason is all about preparation. That way, you're ready to get in the water as soon as you get the chance.
Starting with?
How about yourself? Hopefully, you spend some time over the winter either starting or reinvigorating your fitness routine. But if not, it's never too late. Make sure you're eating well and exercising so you'll be in shape for the water.
Sounds reasonable enough.
Yep. There's one more step to make it complete. All of us should routinely monitor our health. So if you haven't had a physical in the last year, it's a great time to get one.
I'll make an appointment. I'm guessing we should spend some time on our equipment too, though, right?
That's next on the list for sure. If you haven't done it already, it's time to take the big stuff in for servicing. BCDs, regulator, tanks, and anything else that needs attention.
That is a good reminder. Matter of fact, I think mine's due now that I think about it. But what about the smaller stuff? You know, like dive accessories.
Those should be given the same attention that you show every other piece of gear. In fact, it's almost more important since we tend to forget that the smaller stuff should be checked as thoroughly as anything else.
Can you give us an example?
Let's start with electronics. Your computer, your dive light, your tank markers. Are they all working? Do they have fresh batteries? Make sure that everything that runs on batteries has a new one. Even if it works now, it doesn't mean it'll work through the season. And you really don't want it to quit on you in the middle of a dive.
What else?
So how about things that spend most of their time rolled up? Like dive reels. They should be unrolled and checked for frayed or weak spots in the line. And safety sausages. There's another thing that spends a lot of time tightly bound, so unroll them and even inflate them. Just make sure that they're good to go. Lift bags should get the same treatment.
How about straps, like on your fins and mask?
Definitely check those, and take a look at your dive knife and make sure it isn't rusted. Take a look at your exposure protection and make sure there aren't any holes or split seams.
Let's see. What are we forgetting?
How about emergency planning? If you've got an oxygen unit, you absolutely should be checking it to ensure it's in proper working order. And first aid kits. Take a minute to go through them and ensure they're fully stocked and all their contents are current.
How about taking a minute to review any emergency assistance plans you've generated?
That's an excellent suggestion. Double-check all the information and numbers on your emergency assistance plan and make sure everything is correct and up to date.
I'll make a note of it.
The point is, every piece of your dive gear should be thoroughly inspected before you head off for another summer in the sun. No detail is too small. Equipment is beautifully designed these days, and it's never been safer, but it still requires proper care and maintenance. But if you take care of it, it'll take you on some grand adventures this summer.
Dive season is almost here. It's a great time of year to do your pre-season safety check. So pull out your gear and give it a thorough inspection. Spending some time with it now means your time can be spent in the water later. Do that, and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
We are back. Robert's dialed up 888-88-SCUBA. He is on Scuba Radio right now. Robert, what can we do for you?
Yes, I'm thinking about taking a vacation to Grand Cayman later this year.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And what are some of the best shore diving sites I could do?
Okay, on the main island on Grand Cayman. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
What is this? Are you coming in to stay on the island, or are you doing like a cruise ship stop, or what are you doing?
I'm thinking about I'm looking at Sunset House.
Ah, yeah, that, good choice. Good choice. Now, Sunset House has a beautiful reef right there in front of the hotel and dive operation, and they have a statue there of a mermaid that is it's a must-do dive if you're a scuba diver, and you could snorkel it too, actually, if you wanted, but it's definitely a shore dive. They got a great spot there for doing just that. I've done that a couple times. It's been a few years, to be honest with you. But one of the cool things about that statue, by the way, you know, it's been down underwater for some time, but it's very shiny in two particular parts on this statue. You hear what I'm saying there, Robert?
Yes.
It's been buffed clean of algae, and I'll leave it to your imagination where those two spots might be. But yeah, there's been many a photo and video taken of the mermaid statue there at the Sunset House Reef.
It's unusual that those spots are so clean of algae because the water's not that cold. You would think with that much attention being given to that part of the statue, it might be because the water is so cold, but it's not. The water's nice there.
Yeah.
Good diving off of Grand Cayman.
It is. It really is. You couldn't go wrong with that place. Their tiki hut there, by the way, at Sunset House. Nice place to hang out after the day of diving. So, I'd highly recommend that spot.
I mean, if you're there, too, there's a dive operation right there, and you get a lot of good choices for dive sites.
Yes. Yes.
I'm also thinking about Dive Tech, Cobalt Coast.
Well, Dive Tech, Nancy and Jay are great. They're all over there on the west side of Grand Cayman. A beautiful place to dive. Same thing. They got a real nice reef to head off right off of the property as well. You know, it's like I said, it's been quite a while since I've been on the island. I would say at least 5-6 years now. And it might be a lot more developed than it was when I was there. But back in the day, over there on the west side was pretty remote compared to where Sunset House is and some of the other
places.
Take
a right at the cow.
Yeah.
That was the directions when we went there for my 40th birthday. That's how long ago I had been since I was there. We went there for my 40th birthday.
That's true, yeah.
And I'm now 71. But we went there for my 40th birthday, and you had to turn a right at the house with the cow in the front yard to get down to the resort.
To Dive Tech. Yeah. But they've expanded. You know, there's been a lot of changes since I've been there because they had a couple hurricanes and things that kind of, you know, made them build up some new roads and resorts and things. So it might be a little different, but a great place to dive. Nancy and Jay are great folks. I mean, the thing is, Grand Cayman, you can't really go wrong with, especially if you're talking about Sunset House. You're talking about Dive Tech. The other one, I think, is Ocean Concepts. Is that the one on the east side of the island? I might have the name wrong. But they run it on the east side of Grand Cayman. They have a real nice dive operation over there as well that you might want to take a look at. But those are there's a whole bunch. I don't want to single out any particular dive operator. But you can't really go wrong there. And there are plenty of places to do shore diving at each resort. Or if you just, you know, take a bus, cab, or rent a car and head over to place. There's another great shore diving area by the Turtle Farm, which isn't far from Dive Tech, actually. Not too far from there. And it's went through a whole renovation since we were there as well.
Well, because they got washed out in a hurricane.
Exactly.
The whole Turtle Farm got
But there's a really nice, and actually Dive Tech had a satellite operation there. They may still have that. And had a really nice shore dive right there as well. So, you know, just Google, do a Google search on, you know, Grand Cayman shore diving sites, and you'll find plenty of them. But, you know, why are you just locked in that you will like the ease of doing a shore dive? Or are you going to mix in some boat diving, too? Or what are you thinking now, Robert?
I'm thinking about doing both shore dives and boat dives.
Yeah, as you should. Mix it up. But maybe just have that added flexibility of throwing in a shore dive in between some of the boat trips, I guess, is what you're thinking, right?
Yeah, I got another question.
Okay.
I was there around 10 years ago, Grand Cayman. A hotel I stayed at is no longer in business. Is there any restaurant, you know, like Wendy's, McDonald's, stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's Grand Cayman's very developed in that regard. There's always a KFC on every Caribbean island, including Grand Cayman.
And if you want to go to Wendy's and KFC, you may as well just go to Pompano Beach. and dive there.
No, it's different in Cayman. No, but Cayman is probably one of the most developed islands in the Caribbean.
If
they
you're
got
going
everything.
To Cayman, you should have some conch. You should skip the KFC.
No.
Skip the KFC.
You know, you may think about Cayman. What's so good about Cayman, especially Grand Cayman, now you want to get away from it, go to Little Cayman or Cayman Brac, one of their sister islands, but you want to go to Grand Cayman. That's who you go to the islands with. You're a diver. Maybe you have a spouse that's not so much into the diving thing and doesn't want to be away from it all, as they say. Grand Cayman, definitely the place to go.
And they all speak English.
Yes, indeed.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
So, what made you finally decide to sell?
Moving to the Cayman Islands.
Oh, that'll be a change from Seattle.
Gee, you think?
Yeah, they have great scuba diving down there. You scuba?
Do I look like I scuba? I'm lucky I don't need a tank to breathe on land.
How I wish you were here. We're just two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl year after year.
You know, that has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? And somebody is actually taking that to a new level in New Zealand, of all places. They're basically taking an aquarium underwater and jumping inside it to film sharks. Yeah.
So they're going to be in the aquarium and the sharks will be outside the aquarium?
Exactly.
That's our shark? No, our aquarium?
Exactly. It actually is a shark cage. That they've, on one side of it, instead of cage, they've decided to put, bulletproof acrylic glass.
You go in the...
You go in the aquarium.
The aquarium goes in the water. Our shark's in the water. Our shark.
That's not bad.
You're going to need a bigger aquarium. All right, that wasn't him. That wasn't him. That was Richard Dreyfuss. But
yeah, and yeah, this guy's a New Zealander.
That line...
Yeah.
And it wasn't Rich Dreyfuss. I don't think it was Quinn. I think it was Scheider, actually. But that was...
That was Quinn.
It was not on script.
Oh, he made that up? He
made that up.
Good for him. Yeah, we actually have that. We could play that. But anyway, and I don't know if this is a new thing, but they're touting this in the New Zealand Herald as a new thing, at least maybe for New Zealand. But they actually, this guy's made a shark cage where one side of the shark cage is just clear glass, so you could film through it and get, you know, an unobstructed view of the sharks doing their thing. And actually, this might have been for a photo shoot for Discovery Channel Shark Week. They're filming that right now, by the way. So right now, you know, the Shark Week doesn't happen until August, but right now we are in the heat of it as far as the, as far as Discovery Channel filming around the world for Shark Week 2013. And so this is one place in New Zealand. I know of a fact that they've been filming over in the Bahamas, getting
they've
some stuff
with Stuart.
For Shark. Yeah, actually they were. They were with Stuart Cove doing some stuff, I believe, last week. So
was it the Mythbusters? I love when the Mythbusters were with them.
I haven't heard. I'll have to call Stuart and find out.
It's one of my favorite episodes because, of course, we know Stuart.
Yeah.
And when the Mythbusters were there, I think that the main guys had their own dive gear, but the all the other people did not. So they're all, I mean, it's Stuart Cove's name's everywhere. If you ever dove with Stuart Cove, you know his rental gear has his name all the way down your leg and all the way down your arm. So
it
says Stuart Cove's, all like he owns you. If you're in the water in his rental gear, Stuart owns you.
Yes. Well, he's a good marketer, and he's the dive operator
to the
stars.
He's a good dive operator. I like that dive operation. I like that dive.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun stuff out there.
Yeah.
We don't go there often enough.
But I don't
go anywhere often enough.
Would you dive in an acrylic shark cage?
No. And let me tell you why.
Yeah, why?
Let me tell you why. First of all, I don't really like the shark cage diving because you're not diving. You're just in the water with sharks waiting to see if something's going to happen. And I don't think I would enjoy that environment where I'm just sitting in the water waiting for the sharks. You've done some great white diving, and I don't think I would like that.
I like
being in the water and the sharks being in the water and me not being terrified of the shark because it's not a shark which terrifies me.
Yes.
I don't want to be in a cage with a shark which is designed to terrify me. If God just sat down with a blueprint and said, let's see what scary thing we can make today, he would have ended up with the great white shark.
Maybe.
And his first test would have been a bull shark. And those two sharks are not sharks I like being in the water with. And I wouldn't like being in a cage in the water just wondering what was going to happen. Because you can't go anywhere, right?
To me,
I have not done it. Mm-hmm. To me, it would seem like the only time when I would be claustrophobic while diving would be if I was in a shark cage.
Yeah.
Even though all the ocean is around me, it is a place where I'm inside of something and I have to be worried about whether or not enemy's sticking out of the cage, you know, my fins out of the cage, or my hands wrapped around it. I mean, I just don't think I would like it.
Well, there's a lot of downtime.
Yeah.
You know, especially, you know, if you're chumming in the great whites or something like that. You know, all the stuff you see on TV, it takes hours for the sharks to come in close enough to get a picture of them and get their shot, so to speak, sometimes for these TV shows. And that downtime in between waiting for the sharks to come into view can get a little boring in a cage.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, maybe I'm a little ADD in that regard.
Well, I can see that
able to swim around and, you know, check out some other stuff while you're waiting for the sharks.
How deep are you? How deep are you when you're in the cage?
Well, you're
20 feet?
Not even that. No. You're like 5 feet underwater.
That's a great dive.
Yeah, well,
big
exactly.
Fun.
It's not really diving. you're usually breathing off of a hookah and that kind of thing, but you know, I mean, there's different types. There's a submersible cage I got on the top of. I actually wasn't in the cage.
Okay, that was good.
That was about 20
good.
Feet.
You were the bait.
Yeah, well, if they got too close, the idea was you go down into the cage for protection. But that didn't really seem like the first reaction you would have. It'd be like, do I want to be, you know, hide in this little, box? It didn't seem
so, and I don't think I would like it if it was a clear acrylic side either.
Well, you know,
I don't think I would feel any better about that.
When I read the story, I think of those situations where I've been on the back porch of my house and a bird would fly into my glass window, and I was like, all of a sudden I'm like, oh man, and then they
got another one,
yeah.
Honey!
And having replacing that bird with a 2-ton great white shark.
Yeah.
Thinking that maybe that would be slightly intimidating.
Yeah.
Maybe not, you don't want to piss off the shark either, I would think. So I don't know. But I want to see the footage. Don't get me wrong. I want to see that video.
And I think it would act different in the water than a regular cage would, too.
Maybe. I don't know.
How could
Time
it not?
Time will tell. Maybe we'll see it in Shark Week this year. All right. Hour two of Scuba Radio is on deck. Don't go anywhere. We got plenty more where this came from, whether you like it or not.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.